Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 1, look with me in verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in the bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. I pray that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we look into your word. And I pray, God, that we would get clear understanding from it. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We began looking last week at this prayer of Hannah. And I'll mention a few things that I said last week. But let me just say this. I like what the Bible said in verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. Now, I'm not going to read all of that again, but you'll find that the Lord ends up answering her prayer, and she keeps the vow that she made to the Lord. She took that boy, she gave him to the Lord, and dedicated, and that's where we get dedicating a child back to God. I believe that's scripture. I believe we see it in the Word of God right here. That's where we get that from. But here's what I want to say to you. If you make a vow to God, you better keep that vow to God. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, better is that thou wouldest not vow than that thou wouldest vow and not pay. And simply what I'm saying is this, if you say, God, if you'll do this for me, then God, I'll serve you. And God does that for you, and you don't serve God, you better be real careful what you're making a vow to God about. And I always caution people when it comes to making a vow to God. I believe in making a commitment to the Lord and serving the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, we've got to be careful vowing to God and making a vow to God. Because if we make that and don't keep it, God said himself said, it's better that you wouldn't do that than do it and not pay. So she makes the vow, and of course God answers her prayer, and she keeps her vow to the Lord. I said this last week, D.L. Moody said, I'd rather be able to pray than be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Luke 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Again, you've heard me say it many times, but the disciples never taught him, Lord, teach us to preach, teach us to heal people, teach us to cast demons out. But what they did say is this, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And I ask you this question again. Does anybody come to you and say, teach me how to pray? If you're going to ask somebody to teach you how to do something, it's because you know they know how to do that. You know they know how to do that. You know what? The disciples knew that the Lord Jesus Christ knew how to pray. And they said, hey, Lord, we want you to teach us how to do that. Prayer is so important. I'm working on a message, or it's really been more of a Bible study. I may preach it one day. I don't know. But I was reading through John 11 again the other day. And you know, it's interesting whenever you read through that, that they send somebody to get Jesus. They didn't go themselves. They sent somebody to get Jesus. And I think there is a application, a practical application. Now, I know there's a primary interpretation and a prophetical application, but there's also a practical application that we can make from Scripture, not take it out of context. And honestly, I believe there's a practical application that you can make right there, that when you're in need, sometimes you need somebody to go get Jesus for you. You need somebody to pray for you. I remember whenever they was taking Dad into open heart surgery, he said this, "Y'all pray for me." You know what he was saying? He was saying that I'm going to a place where I'm not going to be able to pray, so somebody needs to go get Jesus for me. If I needed somebody to go get Jesus for me, could I call you and trust you to do it? Whoever they sent, it's nameless, but whoever they sent to go get Jesus, you know what they done? They done exactly that. They went and got him. Prayer, and that's what we're doing and praying. We're going and getting him, amen? We're going and getting him. I thought about this. There's the purpose of prayer. We looked at this last week. The purpose of it is to request things from God. But then also, we not only see that, but it's to receive things from God. We looked at that last week. And then we picked up on this. We picked up on the procedure of prayer. The procedure of prayer. In Hannah, we not only have an example of who prayed or who she prayed to, which was unto the Lord, but also here we have a great example of how to pray, how to get a hold of God, how to talk to the Lord. And I know I've said it, but let me say it again. Man, we need to know how to pray. We need to know how to pray, amen? We need to know how to get a hold of the Lord. And so many times, and this is off track a little bit, but that's all right. So many times we have to spend so much time in prayer getting sin out of our life before we can ever get in touch with the Master. Because he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear my prayer. Sin's got to be out of our life for God to hear us tonight. So she begins to give us a pattern for praying. I'll jump through the first three or four quickly, and then we'll close out with the rest of them. We noted this in verse number 11. Note what your Bible says. Give unto thine handmaid a man child. She prayed specifically. She prayed specifically. In other words, she said, Lord, this is what I need. And I want to encourage you tonight. I understand there's times that we say, now, Lord, whatever the need is, meet it. But there is times when we know what the need is. Can I just say this? I remember back several years ago when I had meningitis, and people called me, and I'm glad that they said this, preacher, we're praying for your health, that God would touch you. I'm glad they just wasn't praying randomly. God wants us to come to Him specifically and tell Him our needs. You say, well, preacher, He already knows them. Well, sometimes He wants to hear it from you. Amen. She prayed specifically, but watch this. She prayed submissively. What did she say in verse number 11? If thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Note again what she said. If thou wilt. If thou wilt. You've heard me say this before. Jesus said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. We could talk a long time about what that cup was, and I'm sure we probably got different opinions, but that doesn't matter. Here's what I want you to see. He said, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, Lord, here's my will. Hannah said, Lord, here's my will. Lord, my will is to have a man child. But then watch her submission. If thou wilt. If thou wilt. The Bible said in 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, He heareth us. Again, Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. So she prayed specifically. She prayed submissively. Watch this. She prayed steadfastly. She prayed steadfastly, and here's really where we got to and kind of concluded last week, so I'll pick up it. She prayed steadfastly. Note verse number 12. And it came to pass, and if you write in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline this. As she continued praying. As she continued praying. In other words, she just didn't go, Lord, if it be your will, give me a man-child. And that was all she said. She never revisited that. She never came back. You know what the Bible said? That she continued praying. Man, we need to pray steadfastly. We need to pray steadfastly. We need to pour our heart out to God. What did the Bible say? He said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You said, preacher, how do I do that? You just do it. Riding up the road, you pray. Riding down the road, you pray. You know, I wonder what would happen if we would cut the TV off a while and pray. I thought here a few weeks ago, I'm going to be an old man. So I got up in the morning, Brother Josh, and I spent a little time with the Lord and got me a cup of coffee, and I sat down, Brother Rodney, I was going to watch the morning news. And you say, why'd you say Brother Rodney? Because unless anything changes, it's what he does in the morning times. He drinks a cup of coffee and watches the morning news. And that's great if he can. I can't. You say, well, why can't you? I was mad as the devil after the second morning of watching the news. All the time I'd spent with the Lord, I needed to go back and spend some more time with him. But I wonder if we would cut some things out. You know, a lot of times we say this, I just don't have time. Don't you listen to what I'm fixing? We have time to do whatever we want to do. It's not that we don't have time. It's we have a problem prioritizing what really matters. Everybody's got the same amount of time in the day. Everybody does. And it's what we do with our time that matters. You know what she done? She said, you know what I'm going to do in my time? I'm going to continue in prayer steadfastly. Man, may we be a steadfast prayer and continuing in our prayer. Now watch this. She not only prayed steadfastly. Note again in verse number 10. The Bible said this, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She not only prayed steadfastly, she prayed seriously. Verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She tells Eli in verse number 15, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. This is no casual, half-hearted praying on Hannah's part. We find her weeping before God. She is pouring her soul out to the Lord. There is a great fervency and a great intention in her prayer. She's serious about this thing. She's serious about it. I ask you another question tonight. How long has it been since you wept in your prayer? That's what she's doing. The Bible said that she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Matter of fact, she said in verse number 15 to Eli, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Have poured out my soul. What did the Bible say in Psalms? He that goeth forth, what? Weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again bringing not his souls with him. I can't remember exactly what it says, but you understand what I'm saying. Sheep with him. And you know what he's saying? He's saying this. If you want to be an effective soul winner, if you want to bring a harvest in with you, there's got to be a watering that goes to it. He that goeth forth weeping. Man, she is pouring her soul out before the Lord. She's pouring her soul. She was serious about this. Ian Bounds wrote this. He said, prayer without fervor, and I read this last week. Let me read it to you again. Prayer without fervor stakes nothing on the issue because it has nothing to stake. It comes with empty hands, hands to which are listless, as well as empty, which have never learned the lesson of clinging to the cross. Fervorless prayer has no heart in it. It is an empty thing, an unfit vessel. Heart, soul, and life must find place in all real praying. Heaven must be made to feel the force of this crying unto God. He goes on in his book to describe fervency in prayer as fervency has its seat in the heart, not in the brain, nor in the intellectual facilities of the mind. Fervency, therefore, is not an expression of the intellect. Fervency of spirit is something else besides mere preference. It's the contrasting of like with dislike. Fervency in prayer is pouring out the soul before God. It is our emotion being engaged in prayer. We come before God with a longing heart. We weep before God as we cry out to Him in our prayer. And I say this to you, Lord, teach us to pray fervently. Matter of fact, what did James say? He said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I just say something to you and then I'll move on? That don't necessarily mean that he's praying out loud. It don't necessarily mean that the individual is raising their voice in prayer. Matter of fact, this is a fervent prayer that I've just read to you. And her lips moved, but it was never audible according to the Bible. Let me tell you the reason why. It was a conversation from her heart to the heart of God. Oh, yes. Let me say this to you. We need to pray seriously. Let me show you something else. We need to pray selflessly. Selflessly. What did she say in verse number 11? Again, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Her vow and promise to God were that she would give her son to the Lord and consecrate him to the service of the Lord. When she said no razor would come upon his head, she was speaking of a Nazirite vow, which one took as an expression of total consecration to God. Matter of fact, you'll find out that Samson also had a Nazirite vow. She was not praying for her benefit alone, but that God would be glorified by her prayer being answered. There was no selfish pursuit in her praying, but spiritual. She wanted a son, yes, but only if it would bring glory to God. Why do we pray what we pray? Why do we pray? Let me tell you the reason she prayed what she prayed. Because she wanted it to bring glory to God. She wanted it to bring glory to God. I want to say something to you, church. In our prayers, we should pray that everything that we do and that everything that we say brings glory and honor to God. Brings glory and honor to God. Matter of fact, next Wednesday night, we're going to give out every name of every preacher that has registered for the meeting. Somebody here will get a preacher's name and his wife's name. And when you take that name, when we give those out, you're saying, here's what I'm agreeing to do. I'm agreeing over the next 2 days to pray that God would help them and strengthen them so they can go wherever it is that they're in ministry and they can be a help to somebody else. Our prayer should bring glory to God in everything that we pray and everything. Why are we asking God to do it? Why are we asking? I found a new podcast that I'm listening to right now on church growth, and I don't agree with everything in it, but it's got some really good things in it. And this afternoon, I was getting ready, and I was listening to another episode of it. And as I was listening to it, the preacher was talking, and Brother Brian is dealing a lot with mentorship in these episodes that I'm in right now. He was dealing with this. He said that my goal is for every person in our church to be more spiritual than I am, that any preacher in our church to be a greater preacher than I am, that if they go out to pastor, that they have greater churches than I have. You know what he was saying? He said, I'm praying that they will glorify God in what they do. When we pray for our Sunday school class to grow, why do we pray that? When we pray for God to grow our church, why do we pray that? It's not so we can say, man, I had this many in Sunday school, or I had this many in church. No, it's so we can say there is a great God that's still doing a great work. It's to bring glory to Him. And her prayer was doing that. Let me skip over a couple things. Notice this about the procedure of prayer. Lastly, it was sacredly. It was sacredly. Note again verse number 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. She comes to God with great respect and reverence. And there is none of this, O Lord, the man upstairs. There's none of this derogatory downplaying of the holiness of God. And I tell you something, when we approach the throne of grace, we need to approach Him as who He is. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There is a reverence that goes to Him. And in our prayer, hear me and hear me well, I've heard people pray like this, and I guess I am critiquing them, whatever you want to look at it as, but I've heard them say, God, you've got to do this. No, God don't have to do nothing. God don't owe us anything. And we better remember that He is sacred. And when we talk to Him, we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why do we encourage people to bow when they pray a lot of times? It's because we humble ourselves in the presence of a holy God that we get to talk to. I thought about this. She says, Lord, oh Lord, all in caps. It is Yahweh or Jehovah. It's the eternal, self-existent, the great I am. That's who she's talking to. She says, oh Lord, but then watch this, of hosts. Whenever you study that out, it's the Lord of the armies. Hannah acknowledges that she is, or that He is the all-powerful God who controls everything. And she's saying, Lord, as I'm talking to you, if it be your will, if you'd see fit, the great God that controls everything and has everything under control, if it be your will and if you'd see fit, Lord, I sure would love to have a baby. And here's the reason I want that baby. Listen to what I'm fixing to say. So I can give that baby back to you, and that baby can bring glory to your name. Not so, she never says, she never says, so it would bring glory to me, so I would have a good time raising it. She says, no, I want a baby so I can give that baby back to you, so that baby can bring glory to you one day. The procedure of prayer. I'll give you this last of all, 7:45. We see the purpose of prayer in this. We see the procedure of prayer in this, but note this, number three. We see the power of prayer in this. The power of prayer. Leonard Ravenhill, what a great writer. Leonard Ravenhill said this. One might estimate the weight of the world, tell the size of the celestial city, count the stars of heaven, measure the speed of lightning, and tell the time of the rising and the setting of the sun. But you cannot estimate the power of prayer. Prayer is as vast as God because He is the one behind it. Prayer is as mighty as God because He has committed Himself to answering it. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying prayer is as powerful as God is. Prayer, you ought to get a hold of that. Prayer is as powerful as God is. I thought about this. I sat down on that John Deere tractor this morning and I bush hogged a while. But you know what? What I was working with was no greater than the power that it could produce. It's no greater than the power that it could produce. And I'm going to tell you something. When I go to Him in prayer, I'm talking to the one that's all powerful. Oh, yes, He is. You say, preacher, how much power is in prayer? How much power is in God? It's limitless. R.A. Torrey said this. Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Prayer is the greatest force in the world. There is no greater means or more powerful source at our disposal than prayer. We have already seen how Hannah prayer was answered. Eli said in verse number 17, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah prayed, and God moved. Hannah asked, and God answered. God granted Hannah the very thing she asked for, because there is power in prayer tonight. There's power in prayer tonight. When I think of the power in prayer, I think of two things. I'll give you these in will be done. There's an undeniable power of prayer. An undeniable power of prayer. You cannot deny the power of prayer. I can say with absolute certainty that there is an undeniable power of prayer. There has been things that have happened when people prayed, and there are things that can happen when people pray. And can I just say this? Those things that happen when people pray, they just can't be explained to the natural mind. They just don't understand it. They don't understand it. Oh, yeah, it's an undeniable power of prayer. I wish that I had time. I wish that we had time, and I would tell Dad to come up here and take about 45 minutes and tell the story of the land that the retirement home sets on, that of the church that he pastored when I was a little boy, and how they said that we would never get that land. They said that the house that was there would never go to the church. And the nights, I remember the nights, not night, the nights of walking around that parking lot as a little boy with my daddy, and my daddy praying. I remember the all-night prayer meeting, sitting there looking at that land and praying and asking God for that land. And guess who owns every bit of that land now? Turner's Creek Baptist Church owns every bit of that land. Let me tell you the reason why. Because there's power in prayer. There's an undeniable power of prayer. But then there's the, and I've already hit this a little bit, but I'll give it to you, Miss Tanya. Come start playing. There's the unlimited power of prayer. What did the Bible say in Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask or think, according to, watch this, the power that worketh in us. There's nothing we can ask for that is beyond God's ability. We can't even think of some things that He can do, because it's beyond our thinking. It's beyond our knowledge. It's beyond our comprehension. That's how great His power is. I wish you'd get a hold of that. That's how great His power is. R.A. Torrey said this in his book, The Power of Prayer. His comments on James 4:2, "You have not because you ask not." He writes this. I give it to you in closing. These seven words contain the secret of the poverty and the powerlessness of the average Christian, of the average minister, and of the average church. Why is it? Many Christians is asking that I make such a poor progress in my Christian life. And I ask you this, he goes on to say, why do I have so little victory over sin? Why do I win so few souls to Christ? Why do I grow so slowly into the likeness of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And God would answer them and say this, neglect of prayer. You simply have not because you ask not. You have not. You say, preacher, I wish I could understand the Bible better. Have you asked Him? Because you know what he said? Matter of fact, I believe it's in James also. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men freely. Maybe the reason we're powerless in our soul winning It's because we're not asking them to help us. Maybe the reason our homes are in the shape they're in is because we're not asking them to help us. Maybe the reason we find ourselves in the mess that we find ourselves in the mess in sometimes is because we simply just didn't take a minute and say, Lord, would you help me with this? Lord, would you help me with this? We have not because we ask not. The power of prayer tonight, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. It's completely unlimited. Me and Jacob was talking back there a while ago about motors and race cars. And you know what? It don't matter what motor it is. It's got a limit. You push it far enough. You throw enough nitrous to it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to blow. I'm going to tell you something about God. There is no limit to His power. And watch this. When I go, Lord, it's John. You know what happens? I tap in. I tap in to every bit of the power that He's got. It's right there. It's not even a phone call away. Because a phone call, you have to dial a number and wait on it to ring. It's as soon as I say, Lord, if sin's not in my life, immediately, every bit of the power of God is right there. Now, again, listen to what I'm saying. When we tap into that, why are we tapping into it? For our glory or for His glory? When we pray, God, would you help me preach? God, would you help me recall the things that I've studied? God, would you anoint me to preach? God, would you help me? Why are we praying that? So when people walk out, they say, oh, that sure was a good message. If they walk out and that's all they got, we miss the mark. No, we should want it so when they walk out, they go, oh, that sure is a good God. It's for His glory. It's for His glory.